Record. Just to let you know, you're being recorded. This is the AEA Amateur Radio Club meeting for August. Welcome. I think we have one or two persons on Skype. I'm not sure. Can you guys speak? Apparently not. I hope you can hear us. Anyway, welcome to the Amateur Radio Club meeting. These are our officers. I'm the president. We don't have a vice president at this time. Bob here is our secretary, and our treasurer is Joe, and Joe's not here today. There is, for our club, there's a little bit of business. We have an Oktoberfest that's coming up. That's put on by the AEA. It'll be in the, it's like a lunchtime event in the Polycus Mall. And they offered for us to have a booth to promote our club, maybe get new members. It's Wednesday, October 17th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I will be out of town, unfortunately. Tom volunteered to set up his soda station, and he'll hand out flyers and stuff, and he wants us to get a booth near the trees to throw the antenna over. I'd like somebody else to sit with Tom, and Bob said he'd do that. We have to have a raffle prize as well. That we haven't resolved this issue. It has to have a $10 minimum value. Mostly they go randomly to everybody, so I don't necessarily think we want to give something that is completely ham related, because some random person's going to get it and they may not appreciate that. So I was often, an easy one is a Starbucks gift card. Or any other ideas? Anybody?
That's good. I agree with you.
Okay. So if you or Tom can pick it up and just submit the receipt to Joe, and he'll reimburse you. But we're settling on a Starbucks gift card. $10, I think, is fine.
Okay.
And so, because I have to put that on the paperwork of what we're doing, and I'm filling in the paperwork for Tom. So we'll do the Starbucks gift card, and did you mention you wanted power?
Yeah, but Tom...
Tom says he doesn't need power for his station.
Tom said he didn't really want to be distracted, so he requested I just bring the arrow antenna, and we'll leave it at that. The arrow.
Okay, so no power. No power, but my one request is be near
the tree.
Okay. I'll put that, because I can put a special request in.
Yeah.
I'll set it up that way. And that's the business. But now what I was going to present is my APRS setup I used in my RV. Are you guys all familiar with what APRS is?
I'm not.
But. You're not? APRS officially stands for Automatic Packet Reporting System. And this is the quote from Wikipedia. It's an amateur radio-based system for real-time digital communications of information. Immediate value in the local area data can be include GPS coordinates, weather station, text messages, announcements, queries, and other telemetry. APRS data can be displayed on a map and can show stations, objects, tracks of moving objects, weather stations, search and rescue data, and directional finding data. It's on a specific frequency, one frequency, and usually it's 2 meters. And you can see that map up there shows you what the frequencies are for different places. This presentation is just how I use it in my RV. You can do a lot more than just location tracking with APRS. People used to think that it stood for Automatic Position Reporting System, but that's not the case. You can actually send messages. You can send other information through it as well. And so what I did was, like, for example, I just got back from a vacation with my RV where I went to Washington State.
Wow, cool.
And that is an example of the track from the website, APRS.fi, of my track going back. Actually, that's returning from Washington State over 3 days.
Is the website real time, meaning that
the website is real time? And the interesting thing is the packets go out on via radio, and then they bounce. They get, everybody receives it, and everybody says, "Oh, I got a new packet." Sends it out, broadcasts it out to everybody else. So then they bounce around, and then eventually, if they get into a iGate, which is an internet gate, then they're sent into the APRS internet, and that is reflected on the website. The APRS.fi. So
does, if you can, does see the website on my, keep a history?
Yeah, like lots of history of the, of your packets.
And if it's text or something, do you have to authenticate in to see those, or those are public? Or
it's all public because it's ham stuff. So okay. Everything ham is public. So it's all publicly available. You can search it. You can search for a call sign and stuff. And so, like, when I went on my trip, I put a post on Facebook of, here's the link if you want to follow me along, and so someone could go on that and they'll see my line extend as I travel along when they refresh the page.
Are there HF frequencies, like if you're backpacking or something?
There are a few HF frequencies, I believe. I haven't done that yet, but there are a few. Mostly it's 2 meter. So I have on my RV, I have these two 2 meter 440 antennas, one on each side. One I use for the APRS, and the other is for my regular rig. So if I wanted to contact a repeater or something, so that's the antennas. And then I have here is my old ICOM IC27A from the 1980s. 2 meter mobile radio. It's 25 watts. I got it a long time ago from the TRW swap meet for $25. Then I had to make a custom cable that goes from its microphone connector, and it has an external speaker jack on the back of the radio, and so that sends, because you want to get the mic, the speaker, the ground, and the push-to-talk. Those are the three things you need from your radio. They go into this thing it's Velcroed to the side. It's actually this box. And that's a terminal node controller. That's this Bluetooth, Mobile Link D Bluetooth TNC controller. That's $70. That's the high-cost thing. And then I use an old Android phone, which actually they're free. Every 2 years, you get a free phone. It's your old one.
There we go.
They get a new phone every 2 years, and you got old smartphones sitting around.
Now, what's the smartphone doing?
That is the brains of the stuff. And so it runs an app called APRS Droid, because it's Android. And you put in that your... what your call sign is, stuff like that, and it uses the phone's GPS to get its location, and then that sends out all the packets, and you can see on the display it's received several. I just turned this on for a few seconds in the morning, and that's all the people that it received locally in Lomita. And then you can hit the button down here that says start tracking or stop tracking, and that starts whether it's sending your information out or not. And you can do a single position send if you want. I just leave it on, turn the tracking on and go. And then the antennas, those, so it's relatively inexpensive, the setup.
Yeah, the most common word was old.
Yeah, because I just did it with mostly extra stuff that I had. The only new thing I had to buy was the radio, the TNC controller.
Why do you need that?
Well, you need that in order to, because the TNC turns the digital information into audio tones. It's sort of like on your computer setup doing digital, you have the sound card. It essentially does the sound card, but it has some smarts in it, so it's sending packets using its own sound card and then receiving packets, and so it keeps track of that sort of thing.
Because I can hook this up directly to the radio, and I don't need a TNC.
Because you have a newer radio. This is a 1980s radio. It has nothing. It's like an analog radio.
But I just hook it up to this.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, if your radio has APRS stuff built in, you don't need a lot of these components.
No, there's no APRS. There's no APRS. This just is the radio.
Well, you have to hook that up to the audio jacks.
To here.
Well, then this is becoming... I could hook up the audio connections and stuff. This way it goes over Bluetooth. I don't have to...
True.
Nothing touching my phone.
True.
And I don't have to worry about the connections and wires and things of the audio connections, which can be messed up.
Yeah.
I can use the sounds on my phone. They can still beep. If you do that, you have to make sure that only the sound comes out is going to the thing.
Good point.
Okay. So that's why I use a separate TNC control.
Yep.
It's essentially like you're using a separate sound card. From the computer perspective, having a separate TNC like that means your phone can do all its normal stuff.
Gotcha.
And it's picking up the GPS clicks in the old phone, right?
Right. The phone still, it doesn't have service, so it doesn't have my cellular service. But it does, the GPS still works. And so it gets its location from GPS just fine and sends my updates of positions. And it's receiving anything that it receives, it displays on there of the other stations that you're receiving and things like that.
Cool.
And then you can see, I'll see if this works. See if my track works.
That's neat.
Where is this?
Try open another window, because that one seems to be doing nothing. All the way to the left, you got Internet Explorer.
Is this set in some old digital mode, or it's its own thing about how it's set? Is this some old digital mode
it's
how
using,
it's actually
set? It's using... same as packet. It's like...
Same as packet, yeah.
Same as packet. I think it's 9600 baud packet.
That's cool.
What's happening to my window?
Uh-oh.
How long did it take you to go up and down?
3 days up, 3 days back.
Try
That's it?
Internet Explorer to the left.
Yeah, but I clicked on my link.
No, but your link is easy to recreate. All we do is go to aprs.fi. Yeah, go to the right one on that.
I guess, but I'm not presenting that window now. I'm presenting this one. I think
the only thing I can think of... No, that's all right.
Almost
it. Because it was dual screen, it's coming up on the other screen. But there you go. Yeah, let's see. APRS.fi, right? And then put in your call sign.
Yeah, I know how to do it.
Got you already. See it?
No. Since it's less than 7 days since I returned. And so, this has my whole track. The interesting thing is it's hard to see on here, but if you look at an individual packet.
Yeah, it shows you what receiver got it, huh?
It shows you how it got to the internet.
Yeah.
So I was there in my RV, and the packet was received by this station all the way to the right in California Hot Springs. And then that's a digipeater. That guy digipeated it back to this guy over here.
It's connected to the internet, right?
It's connected to the internet.
How fun. That's great.
And then one went up here and then back down. And then you go a packet over here, it went back, boom, boom. Yeah. Short distances, long distances.
What's the R mean up there?
I don't remember. I think there might be a repeater or something. No, not a repeater. It's something else. So
that's totally awesome.
That's very cool. Yeah, that last trip you took, I forget where you were.
So this is
Texas.
This is my stuff from Saturday. Yeah,
I went all the way across the whole thing when you did that.
But I can go.
Now you just let alone, right? Do you have to tweak it, or you just
no? I turn it on and drive. I don't touch it. Don't touch it. But it also can show you interesting things like the longest distance of your transmission.
Mm-hmm. That's
212 miles.
That's cool.
On that one.
That's 25 watts.
25 watts, 212 miles that I got. And 150 miles.
You didn't even go to where it was. He was probably on a mountain or something.
That's
right?
Really fun.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
And this is these are the grids, the grid distance, they calculate it by the grid locations. And so it's from that grid is where I was.
Hmm.
And that's the call sign K that received it.
That's really fun.
Oh, up there in Medford.
New life for that little radio. That's cool.
So, that's what I do on my RV trips with that.
Do you need to turn it off when you stay at night?
Yeah, I turn it off at night.
Not during the battery.
Well, this is showing you starting out up in Sacramento.
I went to one day. That's what I did. Over here, as I showed from 8:24 to 8:25.
Oh, I see.
I changed it instead of the whole thing.
And then it had blue dots, and then I don't know what between them, but
the blue lines are the connecting lines, and then
the red dots along the blue lines. Blue dots. I don't know what those were. See the blue dots.
Although that's just Interstate 5.
Oh, that's
five.
Not dots.
It
those
says
are just
Interstate
5. That's the Interstate sign.
Yeah, Interstate sign. Because
yeah,
I went down 5.
That's cool.
Is the RV have a metal roof?
No.
It's fiberglass?
It's wood roof with rubber roof cover.
So
it's metal framed. There's a metal skeleton underneath. So it's like 1 inch, 1.5 inch square tubing that makes up the frame of the RV.
So is that taking care of the ground plane for the antenna, the metal frame?
Well, the antennas are just VHF, so I have them bolted. I don't need to bring up my... hold on. Get the presentation back. Sorry, but it went away. So, the antennas are bolted to this aluminum channel that connects electrically to the frame. So they're essentially grounded to the whole frame of the whole RV, I think.
Okay.
I haven't had any issues with the signal as far as that. It probably, if I put them in the middle, it would be easy. It would be technically a better signal going out, but in an RV, you come upon trees and stuff that knock things over, and these have a natural breakaway in the antenna, And so sometimes I have to reach up and flip the antenna back up. If I went to two, gotcha, to trees or branches that knocked it down, I have to reach up there and get it. So in this location, it's convenient.
I see.
Because actually, I can actually come out that window there. That's the driver's side window, and I can reach up and flip it without having to pull out a ladder or anything.
That's fine. I can mount something like that on mine, but the rail, it's not attached to any.
What is your RV made from?
This whole thing outside is fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
And the rail is just a piece of metal around the edge.
You won't have much of an issue with a VHF antenna like that. They don't require very much ground plane at all.
Okay. So just a aluminum
plate
rail
you mounted on the aluminum rail, that's going to be plenty.
Okay.
And especially the distances that this is going. It's all, since it's VHF, it's line of sight. It's whatever you hit. And often the, like those digipeaters are on mountain tops. Mm-hmm. At regular repeater site, they'll put a digipeater there. So if you can hit those with, because you can hit it with an HC. I don't have any ground plane here. Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no ground plane. It's my hand. My body is the ground plane.
I saw a Kenwood little handheld that had GPS in it. I wonder, mm-hmm, maybe it did do that all self-contained. But.
Sure it does. A lot of them are going APRS and digital. Yeah.
They are?
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of the newer ones, so, mm-hmm, so there's probably little handhelds that can just do that, right?
There is a way. I haven't worked much with it, but there are, I think, there is a messaging capability that you can do through APRS.
Yeah, Tom and I have done.
And there are some gateways. I haven't figured out how to do it with my APRS Droid software, but, like, you can send, like, there's even a gateway to text messaging, so you could send a message from your radio.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't have any cellular coverage, but you have APRS coverage.
Yeah. Yep.
And get it into the text
cell phone network.
That's
great.
So I don't have documentation on that because I haven't done it, but those things are capable with APRS. It's pretty cool.
I have Pocket Packet here. Uh-huh. When you bring it up, you can bring it up and I guess it's automatically running. I haven't done it such a, but messaging is the first thing that comes up.
Yeah.
And you just hit compose, pick a call sign, and boom. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Neat.
So,
I guess as soon as you turn it on,
that was a fast trip. Wow.
Hmm?
3 days up and 3 days down. That's pretty
fast. No, it was a 2 week trip.
Oh, 2 weeks. Okay.
The transit time to Washington took 3 days because I went to Sacramento, first night Sacramento, second night Roseburg, Oregon, and third night we were in Forks, Washington.
And then you spent a few days up there. And
then we spent like a week up there. We did the National Park, the Olympic Peninsula. We went up and did San Juan Islands, and then we did Seattle and stuff, and then came back.
Is it the three of you, or are there
four? My wife and I have two kids.
Is it smoky there?
It was smoky the whole way.
Yeah.
We drove up through California fires, into Washington fires, got to the San Juan Islands where we could have the Canadian fires. So I had international smoke.
Is it knocked down yet, that big California fire?
The clearest day was like our last touring day was in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And that was like last Thursday, a week ago. A week ago today.
Mm. Not somewhere when I went to Canada. Same thing too. It's smoky everywhere. Mm-hmm. But this year is worse.
Mm-hmm.
When we were at Yellowstone, we were able to see some galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
That was unusual, but it's pretty bad the air.
Mm-hmm. And we were on San Juan Island, or on Orcas Island, and there's like this mountain you go up, and there's a watchtower you climb up, and you're supposed to see, you see all these things in the distance.
Yeah.
We couldn't even see the water from the island we're on. It's a small island. We couldn't even see where the water was.
That's funny.
It was so
that must have been tough. I mean, I understand it was like ancient, you know, before man, they'd have fires and they would just go clear across the west or something, you know, and just
keep going.
It's what's keeping the earth cool.
I guess.
You gotta start fires when global warming gets bad.
So
a little counterintuitive, but I think put more carbon in, but more.
Oh, it makes it opaque, right?
Opaque.
It blocks out the sun.
For a time.
So,
yeah.
So it hits the sun, reflects out rather than getting absorbed.
Christmas party.
Deposits
the
party.
Egg. All right.
So they're probably going to hit me up, like November with a final headcount or something like that. I'm not worried about it. Make you aware of the dates when they come up. So when we do it.
December 13th. Okay, I'll put that in my calendar thing. So.
Yeah. Okay. So save the date.
Yep.
And these are ham events that are coming up. Several QSO parties in September. And the California QSO party is coming up in October. But if you don't have hard ones like Maine, New Hampshire, New Jersey, that's on the September 15th. Those are the nights if you need them for your worked all states and stuff.
What was the Proud Bird date again?
13.
December 13th.
If I'm not here, I'm not here. We'll see. I should be here.
Yeah, we'll send out a reminder one of these months.
All right.
Put it on the Rebus calendar.
But that's all I have today.
Was Tom going to send you some charts?
Yes, I'm not presenting Tom's charts without Tom.
Okay.
Oh, so what do we have?
No, we're not going to.
We're not.
That makes sense.
A sneak preview for next month is that we'll see charts of the Chantilly shack. So he went out to Chantilly and was able to talk to the ham guys and see their shack. And I think he might have helped them with it. I'm not sure. Because they're having issues doing digital.
He told me he tried, but he didn't tell me whether he was successful or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we were going to put in, they already downloaded WinLink. They already have FT8.
Uh-huh.
And what's the PSK31?
FL Digi.
But they're having issues with the computer not talking to the radio. So the sound is there, but it's not getting to the radio. And Tom didn't tell me whether or not he was successful getting that working. We figure once they get it working, all of it will be working.
Everything else will be quick.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
And then I found out my squelch and Gain pots must have been sticky. Because I messed with them the other day trying to find out. Well, remember when I thought you were jamming me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got through that somehow, and now all of a sudden I'm getting good signal all over the place. So I'm hopeful I'll be able to get Chantilly.
I think that might be better.
Because I know my antenna is matching up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, cross my fingers.
Okay.
For the morning net, someone asked me to do meetings. So most of the time I can't get out of the meeting by 8. So Clerk will be doing
clock.
You have a 7 o'clock meeting.
Yeah.
These are evil people.
Well, they're East Coast, so it's 9 o'clock for them. So
9 o'clock for them.
Are you? You're in by 7 normally every morning.
6:30.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, clock going to be doing the morning.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Until your project changes.
Yeah.
We'll see. Mm-hmm.
At least to the end of the fiscal year, so.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Anybody else have anything?
Can't think of anything else.
Right now. Doing stuff.
I need to talk to Jason. I sent him the email and saw him in the hallway. He's like, yep, I saw your email. All right, let's get together. I'll see if I can get money for... So I think it's back on track. He just needed to be reminded. He needed to ask for money. I don't know whether he's going to ask for it this year
or next fiscal year. The A3 antenna that's missing forever?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's good. And then I pulled that radio into my shack and I mean, if you have time afterwards. Oh, I stole a headset, too, from the van and brought it up into the shack. I think it's quiet. I don't know for sure. Through the speaker, you can hardly hear anything. But even when you put in the headphones, it seems kind of quiet.
Hmm.
So I think it's the output amp. So
okay.
Albert said he'll help me pull it apart, David said he would too. There's a way, I guess, you can check the output amp to see if it's working or not.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, and
next
this
time.
Is,
but that was fun. I wasn't familiar with that.
This is my new toy. It's a tri-band radio from BTEC, which is another company that's sort of buying the Baofeng radio. And the reason I bought it is FCC finally did a quick ruling on the Baofeng radios. These all cover more frequency range than they're supposed to by FCC rules. So the rumor is the FCC is going to tell them they can't market it anymore.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that means we can't buy them anymore after a certain point. So I decided, what the heck, buy a second radio.
The transmission is actually quite bad.
You mean the noise?
Well, the noise and the
because the first spur is pretty
the
close.
The extra reflections and stuff that they send out are quite bad.
Yeah. Wait, Tom and I took.
I'm not recommending new hams to buy them. Actually,
Tom and I took a screen print when we went to have it looked at on the spectrum analyzer
at the ham show.
Yeah, I think mine was 1 or 2 dB over the spec. Mm-hmm. Even a brand new American radio he looked at was 1 dB over spec. Mm-hmm. So I got a feeling everybody fudges that first harmonic and FCC for some reason gives them the okay to send them. But this frequency is way outside the HT amateur.
How much was that little guy?
This one is 60 because it's a tri-band and it's a different company, but the other one I have is still, you can get them at Walmart or Amazon for $24. And depending if you get a good radio or not, they're fine radios. And like I said, the spectrum analysis isn't that bad. 1 or 2 dB over the spec limit. So, but even the American radios are doing that. I don't know about the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So...
All right. Well, let's close the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
What time is it?
All right. Thanks.
See you guys.
All right.